Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He knew that there were going to be great difficulties. These people had great difficulties. What should we do when we find ourselves in trying circumstances?
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we'll study the 11th of the 12 marks of a difference-making believer. As we study James 5, verses 13 through 18, we'll learn about the importance of prayer and local church involvement.
James chapter 5, I want to talk about a topic that I'm going to introduce in an unusual way, but it brings back vestiges of when I was a little bit younger, 21. No, I was 19 years old, and my favorite football player, Roger Staubach. That's his name, Staubach. I guess Starbucks comes out there. And I remember as a kid watching this, and later when this play was made, because my team was the Dallas Cowboys, Roger Staubach went back and threw a pass, and he caught it, and my team won. Yes! He was interviewed later, Roger was, and he was asked about that play, and he made this statement when he said, "You mean Pearson caught the ball and ran in for the touchdown?" He said, "It was just a Hail Mary pass, a very, very lucky play." He said, "I threw the ball up and I cried out this Hail Mary prayer." It's the only play that I know of in American football that has a religious name to it. You know, it's one of those, throw it up there and hopefully catches it. 9 years later, a guy named Doug Flutie, playing for Boston College, threw the same kind of pass, but this was the play that was known as the Hail Mary pass. It was one of those, you don't have a Hail Mary kickoff or a Hail Mary, you know, running play. This is like the end of the game, desperation. How many of you heard this term? Some might not, but I only use that term to help you understand that I thought it was a good way to identify what actually is an application that John Ortberg, in a book in 1997, the title, "The Life You Always Wanted." He uses this and he says about this particular idea when he said, "I believe Mary is brought in for the last play of the game because prayer is something we generally associate with desperation." He says, "The idea behind this terminology is that for the majority of the game, I can rely on my own resources. I'll depend on my game plan and my personal. However, at a moment of crisis and desperation, when I've run out of time and opportunity, when human cleverness and mortal strength have failed me, when all other options are gone, that's the time to throw up a prayer, Hail Mary." He says desperate people pray. They pray without thinking about it. They pray even if they're not sure who they're praying to or anyone out there is listening at all. Fact is, the Hail Mary play, people know that whether they're atheists or Christians. The application, I thought, was so well done. He says people in foxholes pray. So do people who go through divorce, have children that run away, or hear from a doctor that the lab results say the growth is malignant. When we reach the limit of our resources, we pray instinctively, reflexively, like the man lacking oxygen, gasps for breath, and the way a man who is falling reaches out for something to grab. He says, now, it's not bad to pray in a time of crisis. And one of God's most amazing attributes is that He is humble enough to accept people when they turn to Him in sheer desperation, even when they have been ignoring Him for years. Desperation prayers have been the beginning of spiritual life for many people. And by themselves, such prayers are not sufficient to sustain spiritual life. But the reality is, when we pray, God hears, and the most immediate prayer He answers more than any other prayer is the cry for help. And it is such an encouragement to know that God gives us direction about that. Here's what happens to most people, even Christians, when they get thinking about prayer. Because the smarter a person is, the more they logic themselves out of thinking that prayer really does work. Dallas Willard says it this way, and I think he's spot on when he says, quote, "The idea that everything would happen exactly as it does, regardless of whether we pray or not, is a specter that haunts the minds of many who sincerely profess belief in God. It makes prayer psychologically impossible, replacing it with dead ritual at best." Did you get that? You see, the tendency is that, well, you know, pray. Why pray? Because whether I pray or not, God's going to have his way, so why do anything? And it pulls and sucks the life right out of any interest and willingness to pray. But God tells us to pray. And it looks how serious the writers of Scripture view prayer. And James is one of them. When he starts this little letter writing to the believers, these were people that needed to have an opportunity to pray. Do you remember James chapter 1? Look at it, because I think it sets on the front end of this little book that the reality is that the area of prayer is not stated on the front end. Fact is, he makes the statement of James chapter 1 when he mentions about who he is and who he wrote the letter to those scattered abroad, that he says, do you remember this? "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or multiple pressures." And then he gives to us, and I preached about this, how to solve problems. And he gave four imperatives. He says, verse 3, know. You can know that the trying your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work. The same term that you find in chapter 5, he talks about letting that patience have her perfect work or her maturing work, and he talks then about asking. So this is how you solve problems. And then he goes through and he expands multiple topics. We preach through all of them. And then back to chapter 5 here at our text in verse 13. Now he talks about prayer. And out of those verses, there are 7 times that prayer is mentioned in this little section. The mature Christian is prayerful in troubles of life. Taking it to the Lord in prayer is a mark of spiritual maturity within the local church. People are praying for one another. He says at the beginning, this is how you solve your problems. And at the end, this is how you embrace your problems, whatever they may be. And he identifies a number of them. This was a command that James personally lived out, evidenced by his own life. Eusebius, who was an ancient writer, knew of James, and he was known as the man that had camel knees. In other words, he had prayed so much for the constant worship of God, kneeling and asking forgiveness for many others in his own life, that just as a laborer's hands testify to his occupation and a runner's feet to his training, James' callous knees testify to a life of serious prayer. So he was saying this from a life that those listeners and those recipients of this letter knew, this guy prays. And in that context, he gives really, as has become years and years later now, for many, a difficult questions. I mean, what kind of suffering does James have in view here in verse 13? What type of sickness is he talking about? What's the prayer of faith, anointing with oil? What does all that mean? And I think today I would like to put it in the backdrop of understanding that, listen, there's no activity that a government or organization or business can do for others than a church praying for one another. For without it, many times we get lost. And so with that being said, let me give you what I see in the text very simply is 3 situations in which God answers prayer. What does all of this mean? Again, this is us as a church and the local church involvement. He encourages us to pray. That's what he's doing. And so the emphasis is not so much on sickness and how you heal that as much as it is the overemphasis is prayer in a local church. And he finishes with it in verse 19 and 20, the prayer and truthfulness, going after people that are wayward, that we would go after them in prayer, giving them the truth. Now, how does this happen? Let me give you, first of all, is verse 13, very simply, a general statement that would give us the first of three situations. First of all, understand that God answers prayer during the normal concerns of life. God answers prayers during the normal concerns of life. In other words, being in a place to realize that for people in everyday living, normally you're going to have challenges. In other words, prayer for the usual times of a church member. That's what he's talking about. Because look at what he says in verse 13 when he makes the statement, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You see, the idea is there are times throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, that you know what? There are times that you're going to be afflicted. There are times that you're going to be happy. Times you're happy. Man, I'm singing psalms. Life is great, but life's not always great. And there are times that you are afflicted. What does he mean by the very simple word afflicted? It means suffering in difficult circumstances. He started the book with count it all joy and you fall into manifold temptations. It's the same idea he knew, and he's being reminded of these people. Hey, I know there are times that you're afflicted. You have severe, difficult circumstances. He uses to describe the circumstances that he was in, and he suffered for the gospel's sake. He knew that there were going to be great difficulties. These people had great difficulties. What should we do when we find ourselves in trying circumstances? He says it, don't grumble about it. Don't criticize saints who are having an easier time of it. Look what he says in verse 9. Look at your Bible. Grudge not one against another. The term synodzo is the idea of don't end up groaning over somebody else. Look at them. They got a piece of cake. Look at this. Man, they got a job. They got a good house. They got good kids. They got life perfect. Look at me. And this is exactly what was going on. James saying, listen, don't grudge yourself against somebody else. Don't complain against somebody else. The gift of speech is awesome. And the same ability that we have to abuse it is the same ability we have to be able to use it for God. And he's saying, listen, these are people. The word afflicted is so power-packed. He's saying, listen, there are times you're going to be in troubles and you need to be patient. He says that in verse 7 and 8, just a sentence or two before he gets to this, if any among you afflicted. Notice what he says in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And he says in verse 8, be patient, so that outwardly you are expressing a calmness to know God is in charge. He's Father filtering everything that comes our way so that I can be patient, not just with that particular person, because this term is dealing with people, but do it till the coming of the Lord. And he says it twice in verse 7 and verse 8, do it till the coming of the Lord. It's drawing nigh. It's coming close. Every group of Christians down through history over the last 2,000 years have believed this is it. Jesus is coming before I die. Well, the reality is the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. We're not getting away from it. We're drawing closer to it. And living in light of eternity helps us to say, God, I'm going to be patient.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.